Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Let's Sleep On It, Reclaiming Parenthood, the podcast. And I'm your host, Taylor Kulik, a sleep and well-being specialist and occupational therapist. My mission with this podcast is to examine the parenting narratives that dominate our culture and grow together as parents. Here, we will talk about biological infant sleep, as well as many other parenting-related topics. And you'll also hear real empowering journeys from parents who are parenting against the grain. I hope that you walk away from each episode feeling inspired, empowered, and supported. Please remember that none of the information shared in this podcast is medical advice, and you should always speak with a trusted healthcare provider if you have any concerns. Let's dive into today's episode. So I've been searching for a clean electrolyte company that I love for a really long time, and I just hadn't found anything that I liked, that I enjoyed the taste of, that I felt good about the ingredients, until I found Element. And I actually got a sample from somebody, and I was instantly hooked. They have really good flavors. They're actually tasty. Like, I enjoy drinking them, whereas other brands that I've tried in the past, I really haven't enjoyed. And you can just put them straight into your water, and they're so good. So they have salt, magnesium, and potassium in them. And a lot of people don't realize how important electrolytes are for true hydration. A lot of us are chugging water because we're being told that we need more water, but we're not drinking the electrolytes that we need to actually hydrate our bodies. And so Element is a great choice. They also make seasonal chocolate flavors that are really good as like a hot chocolate, and you can put them in your coffee if you want, or just with hot water and like milk, or just plain. I like to drink them plain. I love Element. I have at least one pack a day. Electrolytes are so important, especially for pregnancy and breastfeeding. So if you're lacking your electrolytes, give Element a try. You can use my link, Drink Element. It's drinklmnt.com/TaylorK, and you will get a free gift with your purchase, which is a sample pack, so you can try all of the flavors. Again, that's drinklmnt.com/TaylorK. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Today, I have a very special guest joining us. It is actually my pelvic floor therapist. I have shared about my pelvic floor therapist before and how she incorporates dry needling into her practice and how it has changed my life. And she's joining us today to talk about pelvic floor health and pelvic floor therapy and dry needling. So Dr. Betty is the founder and owner of Reborn Pelvic Health and Wellness. She's extremely passionate about changing the standard of care before, during, and after pregnancy because postpartum is forever. Dr. Betty is a world-class pelvic health expert and has built a center of excellence in Utah for pelvic floor physical therapy. She's a physical therapist by trait and has helped thousands of people throughout her 10-plus year career function, feel, and move better. She received her doctorate in physical therapy from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 2012. Knowing firsthand how difficult it can be to navigate this stage of life, having two children of her own, she wanted to help others get back to living their lives to the fullest without shame or embarrassment about their pelvic health. Unfortunately, more often than not, pelvic dysfunction can lead to postpartum mood disorders, secondary to an inability to get back to activity because of unexpected physical changes, pain, discomfort, leaking, and/or painful intimacy. What if we worked more upstream? What if we worked on preventing dysfunction from happening in the first place? And what if we provided true prehab and rehab to our birthing people? And that was where Reborn was derived out of. As a doctor of physical therapy, she believes one-on-one care is the best. Because many people do not have access to pelvic rehab, she created the Optimal Vagina Beyond Kegels to reach more people. You can now start your journey and optimize your vagina in your own home online. She specializes in treating return to exercise postpartum with endurance sports and athletes. She's also passionate about finding the why behind your symptoms, optimizing your body, and empowering you to become the expert of your own body so that you can live life to the fullest. When not at work, you can find Dr. Betty hanging out with her husband, two daughters, and two fur babies. She also spends her time enjoying endurance sports like marathon training, triathlon training, lifting weights, hiking, and cross-country skiing. So without further ado, let's talk to Dr. Betty. Hi, Dr. Betty. Thank you so much for joining me. Would you mind just taking a minute to tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm Dr. Betty, and I own Reborn Pelvic Health and Wellness, and we're a pelvic floor physical therapy company in Utah. And we primarily serve people during their pregnancy, postpartum journey, and then throughout the lifespan of that. And then we are adding male pelvic health in July, as a little side note. But we do see people orthopedically as well. And we just specialize in all things pregnancy, postpartum, and pelvic floor.
Awesome. And you are my pelvic floor therapist. So can you tell everybody what pelvic floor therapy is and why is it important, especially for women?
Totally, totally. So I like to lens out a little bit when I tell people this or answer this question, is I like to tell people that we're physical therapists, we're orthopedic therapists, and we're pelvic floor physical therapists. So we're not just like one thing. We're kind of like a combination of things because we do the whole body and everything included in it. And so a pelvic floor PT really focuses in and specializes in the pelvic floor. And we do, so we start with like a full body movement analysis, look at every piece externally, and then we dive internally, similar to a midwife or an OB, like meaning a pelvic exam internal, but we're looking through the lens of a PT. And you could be an OT as well and do pelvic health too. So we're looking at range of motion, strength, coordination, trigger points, scar tissue, pressure management, prolapse, endurance, all of those things to kind of figure out like, why are you leaking? Why are you having pain with sex? Why does your right hip hurt? Why, when you get pregnant, you have SPD? Why does your low back pain hurt when you lift up Costco boxes or give your kid a bath? And we figure out the underlying root cause of why that's happening and then get rid of it for you.
Yeah, I love that. So, can you explain what, okay, so first of all, I talk to women a lot who are pregnant or who recently had a baby, and we're talking about different things, different issues they're experiencing. And I ask them if they've been to a pelvic floor therapist, and sometimes they'll just say no. And sometimes they'll say, well, I went to PT. I went to like a regular PT. And I'm like, no, you have to, I mean, it's better to go to a physical or a pelvic floor physical therapist. And can you explain why that is? Like, why is, how is it such a specialized field compared to just your regular pelvic or your regular physical therapist?
Right. So in order to be a pelvic PT, you have to go to more detailed continuing education courses and schooling and things like that to really dive into the intricacies of the pelvic floor and how it connects with the rest of the body. And honestly, me as a clinician myself, like I was like, oh, I'm a pretty good PT. But then I like had this passion where I'm like, I just feel like I'm missing something. And so I dove down the route of pelvic floor and was like, oh my goodness, this is the missing piece. And now that I have this piece of knowledge, you can't unknow it. And it's almost like I wish everyone had this knowledge because we would just be that much better of a clinician and be able to help our patients that much more if we had the knowledge that we all have. And it's super, super specialized in the sense that like you have to do more schooling for it, but it shouldn't be specialized because over 50% of our population is childbearing. And so it doesn't make sense conceptually that this is a niche, right? But it's really that like cornerstone movement piece of everything that attaches to the pelvis and how it attaches to the pelvis is creates movement up and down the kinetic chain, both with arm movements, leg movements, things like that. So if your cornerstone is not operating the way it should, then kind of all the other pieces fall off the wagon, so to speak.
Yeah, totally. What are some signs and symptoms of pelvic floor dysfunction? Like who might benefit from pelvic floor therapy? How do you know if you need pelvic floor therapy?
Right. So anyone who has general orthopedic symptoms like low back pain, SI joint pain, tailbone pain, pubic bone pain, any leaking, whether it's urinary or fecal, prolapse symptoms, so like heaviness or feeling like your vagina is falling out, pain with intercourse or sexual activity, pain with sitting, anything related to the core as well. So like diastasis recti or weak core, things like that can benefit as well. As many as other things like endometriosis or PCOS or C-sections or any abdominal surgery, hysterectomy, gallbladder, appendix, all of those things can play into your pelvic floor.
Because it's not just about the pelvic floor. It's all connected, right?
Yeah. Everything's connected.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going back to your original question with like why pelvic floor and not just a regular PT, because the pelvic floor, we have that knowledge of like literally the missing piece, because you don't learn about that unless you like get into pelvic. It's like, yeah. Oh, that's just in the pelvic floor. And it's just this like unknown mysterious muscles that are like, oh, that's pelvic floor. Just contract your pelvic floor. And it's just this like abyss versus like once you actually know, then you're like, how can you not incorporate all this in there?
Right. Well, I think that a lot of women, when they think about pelvic floor therapy, if they don't have experience with it, they think of, oh, Kegels. I do Kegels. I'm good. And Even when, you know, that's what I thought of before I started learning more about pelvic floor therapy. And I actually began before I got into like the sleep world, I actually began starting to specialize in pelvic floor therapy and then ultimately like veered away and went towards sleep. But I learned a lot. And one of the first things I learned was the importance of your breath and like proper breathing. I'm like, what does this have to do with the pelvic floor? But it's all connected. And it's like these basic things that most people don't think about as contributing to their pelvic floor dysfunction and pain and all of that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you also, oh no, first back up. I want to talk for a second about OBs. So in my experience, the OBs that I've worked with in the past, and then also women that I talk to, their OBs are often not referring them to pelvic floor therapy. Do you find that that's changing, or is that still kind of what you see too? And why? Why don't they know about pelvic floor therapy?
Yeah. Well, one, I think this is a very loaded question, but I'll do my best to answer. I do see a shift happening. Is it as fast as I want it to be? No. And I would say more the holistic route of like midwives and stuff like that definitely are referring more than OBs. And honestly, in school, I think it all goes back to schooling, right? Like what they learn and what they're taught and when they went to school. Because quite frankly, when I went to PT school, we had 2 hours and it was about Kegels, vaginal weights, and like taking a towel across your stomach and doing like sit-ups to help like diastasis recti. And like, that's like literally what I learned in PT school. And I graduated in 2012. So there's so much has changed since then. And I think it's just hard to like keep up with the times. I would even say we're in like a pelvic PT 3.0 going into like 4.0 now of like just massive changes happening. So I think a lot of it is still grassroots effort of like making systemic change back in education. And then also like people being willing or even open, like patients. And that's really the, where a lot of the movement is. And thankfully with like social media and podcasts and like all this stuff like that, knowledge gets out there and people start questioning and asking. And then patients go in and they talk to their OBs. They're like, oh yeah, I have a great pelvic floor physical therapist. Oh yeah, I want to get referred to pelvic floor PT. And they're starting to do more of it because there's more of a demand and then ask versus like being proactive and being like, everyone gets, here you go, this is where you should go. That's ideally where we want it to be though, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, good. I hope there is a shift happening. I don't know. I haven't seen an OB in a long time, but I just remember talking to women and they're like, I have prolapse and my OB just recommended surgery or something, you know, or Kegels or whatever. Okay. What about Kegels? Like, are Kegels good for every woman to do or no?
I would say no. I'm in the camp of like almost anti-Kegel. I can count like less on two hands in my 12 years of treating and being a licensed clinician that I've actually like had someone need to do like quote unquote Kegels because they truly had a weakness. Most of the time pelvic floors are too tight. And so we have to work on down training or relaxing or getting fascia moving in other places so that the pelvic floor can move and move well. And a lot of times it has nothing to do with the strength, but very rarely there are people who are like, actually, you're the like one percenter that you actually do need Kegels. So it's very rare that that's the answer. Most people just think that's what they should do because it's what they've heard, right? It's very similar. I equate it to being very similar to like mental health of like, if you just tell someone who has actual mental health issues, chemical imbalances, to just, oh, just think positive thoughts. Like what? Like that's not going to actually help someone. Like positive thoughts are a good thing, but like, it's a catch-all thing that's not going to actually like get to the root cause and like actually fix what's going on. Same thing with Kegels. Like don't tell someone to do Kegels if you don't actually know if that's like what they need. So very similar to that.
Yeah. And it can, I would assume, cause like if you do have a tightness issue and you can't relax, it might exacerbate that and cause more issues. Interesting.
Yeah. Another point with that too is like if you had a headache and you had a lot of neck pain, you wouldn't sit there and do a bunch of shoulder shrugs, right? Like that would just like make it worse. So it's the same thing with Kegels. Like you have pain or leaking, like you could do a bunch more Kegels and just make it worse.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. Your practice is different because you specialize in dry needling. So I want to talk a little bit about dry needling. I've actually shared my dry needling experience with you. This is my dry needling therapist here on the podcast. I've shared my experience because people have been interested in it. And so this is the person that does my dry needling. So can you just talk a little bit about what dry needling is and how you incorporate it into your pelvic explore therapy practice?
Totally. So we'll start big picture again here. If like most people think, oh, dry needling is like acupuncture, right? So it's like same needle, two different schools of thought of like acupuncture is Eastern medicine, chi energy, meridian lines, put needles in, let them sit, do their thing. And then dry needling is taking the needle, same needle, into the muscle where a trigger point is or a knot, and eliciting a twitch reflex where it resets that muscle there. And so what happens really nerdy wise is you have your muscles that contract and relax. And if they get bound down and don't move where there's a trigger point or not, what happens physiologically is blood flow drops, oxygen drops, the pH drops, all these neuropeptide chemicals sit there and signal to your brain, ow, stabbing, shooting, tightness, stiffness, whatever your brain's perception of that is. And then we take a needle in there and it contracts that muscle and that breaks that knot up, if you will. And then blood flow comes back in, oxygen comes back in, the pH gets restored, and all those neuropeptide chemicals release. So you have automatically better contractility of that muscle, less pain or perceived pain or discomfort, whatever your perception is, and better range of motion because it has the ability to contract and relax how it should be. So we use that within pelvic health because everything connects to the pelvis. So we might needle someone's lats, we might needle someone's hip flexors, hamstrings, adductors, inner thigh, all that stuff that attaches to the pelvis because it can play on inner workings of how that pelvis is moving, how the muscles are contracting, if something's pulling one side tighter than the other. And so it's all about figuring out symmetry wise of like what's moving, what's not moving, what's stable, what's unstable, and making that all in balance again. And so that's how we use it.
I think you mentioned to me that you can do dry needling internally in the pelvic floor, right? I haven't had to have that done, but I think you said it's possible.
Yes, we can needle anywhere there's a muscle. So that includes all the muscles in the pelvic floor. And so most people think it's an internal technique when really it's our one finger is internal and then the needle's coming externally towards our finger that is internal. Okay. So that we're needling the muscle between our internal finger and externally.
Whether makes it's, me feel better.
Yeah, the rectal
canal. I don't want you putting a needle in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you dry needle everybody? I mean, I'm sure some people specifically say they don't want dry needling, but in terms of like, would everybody benefit from dry needling, or how do you know if you would benefit from it?
Yeah. Most, I would say 99% of our patients get dry needled at some point or every time when they're here, depending on what their needs are. There are the few people who like, are like needle phobic, don't like needles. Don't come anywhere close with me. Obviously we respect that. And there's certain indications and contraindications for like needling or not needling in certain areas. And so we follow all of those things, but most of the time, most people get needles, and that's part of our like branding, if you will, and kind of like what we do and how we incorporate that. We do that for a couple of reasons. One, it's a clinical game changer for us as clinicians, because it speeds up basically what we can do in like 15 minutes of dry needling is like 8 to 10 sessions of like hands-on manual therapy for someone. So it's super efficient. It's also very similar to like getting to the root cause of something and being able to like just stick the needle in where that problem is and get it to release. If anyone's familiar with mental health, so like EMDR therapy, dry needling EMDR therapy, I like to like use synonymously in like the sense of like very similar of like you can kind of reset from like the source of things. So with EMDR, you go back into the brainstem and the amygdala and all that stuff like that, where dry needling go right to the trigger point, reset the nervous system there. So it's a direct interface and can clinically game change. And then for patients, it's like instant relief instead of like being like, well, I think I'm getting better. It's like, oh no, I know that's better. Like,
yeah. That. Yeah. Okay. So a little bit about my experience with pelvic floor therapy. So I'm on my third pregnancy. My first pregnancy, I had like no pain. I felt great. So I've had chronic back pain since I was probably 20, maybe 19. And it was really interesting because when I got pregnant for the first time with my daughter, I had no back pain. Like my back pain went away until maybe I was starting to have a little bit of discomfort at like 38 weeks. But other than that, it was nice because I had a break from my back pain. And then my second pregnancy, I got SPD at, I think it started at like 18 weeks maybe. And it was like, I could barely walk. I was working in the hospital at the time as an OT. So I had to like do these transfers, transfer these heavy patients, these dependent patients. And I had to call off of work most days because I couldn't function. I was seeing a chiropractor. I was in Pennsylvania at the time. But I went to a pelvic floor therapist, just like your average pelvic floor therapist who doesn't do dry needling. And it was my issue is not really like my pelvic floor muscles, right? It's like my hip tightness and things around my pelvic floor. And so it didn't really help me. I just kind of had to get through that pregnancy. Fast forward to this pregnancy. Well, I started seeing you like probably a year ago. So before I was pregnant, I had debilitating hip tightness and pain for like 2 years. And like my pain shifts, like my pain and tightness patterns shift. So it went from like my back always hurting to my hip always hurting after I had my son. I couldn't sit for long periods of time. Long plane rides were terrible. Long car rides were terrible. It was like, I could barely sit like on the floor with my kids because it was just so painful. And I called you and it was like, I don't know, like your free consult or discovery call or whatever. And you were like, you need dry needling. You were like, so excited.
I was like, your life is going to be changed.
Yeah. And this is the other thing. Shortly before I saw you and talked to you for the first time, I had been to another local pelvic floor therapist who didn't do dry needling. And again, she was like, your pelvic floor is it's pretty good. There's not really much to do. And she just gave me some basic exercises. So it didn't actually help. Cause it was like things I already knew and could do on my own. So I went to go see you and you did dry needling. And like the first time it was really intense and uncomfortable, but my range of motion was way better after, because you checked range of motion pre and post. And then I just felt like I had like an 18-year-old's body. It was the craziest thing. Like I went from often having like a 7 out of 10 pain, that hip tightness, to after dry needling, it was like a 0. And I got to the point where I was coming only every 2 months, like every other month I would have a maintenance session. And right before I was due for another session, I would start to feel a little bit of tension, but it wasn't anywhere as bad as, you know, what it had been. And then it was fine afterwards. And so now this pregnancy, I'm coming to you more often because I have SPD again. And that's, what is that for people that don't know, symphysis pubic dysfunction?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I have hip pain. So I'm coming every 2 weeks for you and I still have some hip pain, but it's like every once in a while, right? It's like towards the end of the day when I fatigue, it's like, I can feel it sometimes when I'm walking, but sometimes I can't. It's not nearly as bad and debilitating as it was my second pregnancy. And I think that's because of the dry needling. Like it's not perfect. I still have to watch like how I move and how I get out of bed. Right. But I can still do lunges at this point, and I couldn't do lunges. I'm 22 weeks and I couldn't do lunges at this point, anything really on one leg, like weight shifting. I couldn't do that my last pregnancy, and I can still do that this pregnancy, mostly pain-free unless it's just like a bad day, but it doesn't happen often. So
incredible.
I believe in dry needling. I tell everybody about dry needling. I got my mom into dry needling. I'm telling all my friends, I'm like, please go get dry needling. Your life will be changed. My husband wants to do it. He just Amazing. Has to find the time. So yeah. Is there anything else that you want to share about pelvic floor therapy, pelvic floor health, dry needling?
Kind of spinning off what you were just saying is, one, dry needling is also cumulative in the sense that like, you had a great experience the first time where it was like, wow, I'm like 18 again after like one session. But honestly, most people, it takes a couple sessions to kind of like work through a bunch of the things that they have going on. And then they have the bigger benefits. So remember that dry needling is cumulative. And then also too, like when you are pregnant, what happens is that anything subclinical gets a magnifying glass shown on it. So it's like, oh, wow, you have a little imbalance here. Like that's why the SPD comes out, or that's why a little bit of the hip pain comes out, is because there's a slight imbalance subclinically before you become pregnant. And then as your body's rapidly changing, then you have to like, you uncover those things. You're like, oh, this is still tight here. Oh, this is a little bit more tight here. And so you can keep up with all that stuff, especially as the pregnancy progresses. When you work collaboratively with your provider, whether that's us, with your unique situation, it's like, wow, look at how much better I'm doing this pregnancy than I was last pregnancy. And I think that's what most people unfortunately settle for, is they're like, oh, each pregnancy is worse and it'll get better when I'm done being pregnant. And that's the normal narrative that's thrown around. And it's like, actually, no, if you have any aches or pains, not normal, and you can totally get rid of it even when you are pregnant. So just kind of putting it that.
Yeah. And back to what you said about it being cumulative and like, so I did have really good results the first time, but it only lasted, I think, for 2 or 3 days. And then I started getting, feeling that tension and tightness again. And so I remember, I don't remember how often I was going. I think I was going once or twice a week initially, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, so the way you explained it to me was that each session, hopefully your body will like hold on to the results for longer and longer. And so you can start spreading it out more. And so that's what I had to like build up to going every 2 months or so.
Yep, exactly. You got into maintenance mode is what we like to call it. But generally speaking, I like to tell people it's like a teeter totter, right? You're a little bit out of balance. And so we needle some things and you're like, wow, this feels great. But then we didn't do any like movement retraining to get you out of those compensation patterns. And then you kind of go right back to where you were. And then we needle again. Plus we give you exercise. Remember all the glute work, the core work and all that stuff we did. Of retraining your motor patterns. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I feel really great right here. And then you can go 2 months or 3 months or 6 months or whatever. And you're like, I feel really good. And it's only until then when you get a level out that teeter totter with both needling and then the corrective exercises that go around with that so that you can maintain that position.
Yeah. Do you think it's possible for a person to like just never need dry needling and just get to the point where their body's like perfect and great? Or is that just like part of being a human? And like, we all have these bad patterns, movement patterns that we get into that we're going to have those imbalances and things like that sometimes.
Totally. I think shooting for perfection is like not a thing that you should do overall as a human, but you can always work towards optimizing. That's the word we like to use. Let's optimize your body for the way it is and what you have. And so figuring out like, what do you need to do and how can you become the expert of your own body where you know, like, oh, that's getting a little tight. I'm going to get on that versus like letting it go too far where the wheels have fallen off the bandwagon, so to speak. And you're like, oh no, help. You know, so it's like, we love to empower our patients to have self-efficacy and to know like what their body needs, when they need it. How to control things. Can you use an exercise to get it to calm down? Because there's a lot of ways to get results in different pathways, but oftentimes dry needling can be really quick and fast and efficient. And so we like to use that because why make someone wait longer if they don't have to? And then you then know like, oh, this is getting tight 2 months from now. I must be in some sort of pattern, or maybe my stress levels went up or something happened. I slipped on ice and like all of a sudden it's a little bit tight again. Then you know the solution to it. So it's using that self-efficacy and knowing like, what does my body need and when does it need it? And knowing your patterns and your correction things that you do or your postures that you often go into or habits so that you can correct some of those things and then also know when you need help to get rid of issues.
Yeah, for sure. Can you talk a little bit about SPD and what it is? Because I think I talked to two women this weekend and we were talking about SPD and they were like, oh, I think I have that, but I didn't know that's what it was. And I didn't know it was a problem and I didn't know there was anything you could do to help it. So can you just talk about what that is and what that might feel like?
Totally. So SPD is kind of where your pubic bone is shifting a little bit and you can have sharp pain, right? Your pubic bone, oftentimes when people roll in bed or get on one leg or try and do like unilateral movements, stairs, lunges, putting a pant leg on, things like that. And you'll have pretty sharp pain right in your pubic bone area. And so what we do from a treatment standpoint, there's a lot of different factors that go into that, but oftentimes it's your inner thigh, your adductor muscles that once tighter than the other and causes a pulling on one side versus the other, or your piriformis or your hip flexors. And there's just an imbalance between all those muscles that attach onto the pelvis and it creates that shearing force in that pubic symphysis area. And so we often will needle the inner thigh or the adductors. And oftentimes that gets rid of it almost completely.
Yeah. Yeah. So now thinking about it, I actually don't feel like I have SPD symptoms very often anymore, like with consistent dry needling. It's more of just like my hip stuff. So I guess it's technically SPD. Yeah. It's all like related kind of, right?
You have pelvic girdle pain, I guess.
Yeah.
You could say, in general.
Yeah. Okay. I had another question for you. Oh yes. That was my question. Okay. So chiropractic versus pelvic floor therapy during pregnancy. This is a question I've gotten before. I see a chiropractor regularly and I see you regularly. I think there's benefits to both. Can you kind of explain like, if somebody had to prioritize one over the other, I mean, I'm sure I would actually tell them when you're pregnant, pelvic floor therapy. But can you explain maybe the differences in how chiropractors versus pelvic floor PTs operate and like what, because they help, you help different areas, right? Like you have different job roles and how you might work in collaboration with a chiropractor as well.
Totally, totally. So first of all, I love chiropractors. I think that when pelvic PTs and chiropractors play nicely together, the patient always wins. And so we have tons of chiropractors that we work with collaboratively. So from a school set issue, chiropractors grow up in this school, PTs grow up in this school, our scope of practice, and you could even add OTs in here too, right? Mm-hmm. Our scope of practice goes like this. It crosses over 100% pretty much. And so we just tend to hang out in our schools of thought. And so we end up hanging out on different ends of the nervous system. So chiropractors hang out very much on like spinal alignment, outflow of the nerve roots and all that stuff, central nervous system there. And then PTs and OTs a little bit hang out a little bit more on the peripheral nervous system. Doesn't mean we can't go into the central nervous system. Doesn't mean we can't manipulate a spine or a hip or an ankle or a neck or anything like that. We're trained in all of those things too. We just don't do that all day, every day. And so we interface with the nervous system further out in the periphery. And so both of us work on the nervous system, just different ends. And then we cross over in the middle. So when you have your nervous system functioning really well on both sides, it's like you have this magical, beautiful thing happening. It's like, wow, this person is doing great. So big fan of collaboration for sure.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. Well, Dr. Betty, thank you so much for joining us. Could you tell us, people who are in Utah area, where they can find you?
Yeah, you can head over to our website at www.rebornphw for pelvic health and wellness .com. And then we're also on Instagram at Reborn Pelvic Health and Wellness. And we have two locations. We have one in West Jordan and one in Lehigh.
Awesome. And then you, I believe, have a link that you can get if you do choose to get an evaluation, you can get, is it $50
off? $50 off. Yep.
Awesome. And I will link all of that in the show notes so you can find that easily. Awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us and educating us on pelvic floor health, pelvic floor therapy, and dry needling and all of that good stuff.
Thanks for having me, Taylor.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please subscribe and leave a review if you feel called to. It really helps our message reach more parents. You can also follow me on Instagram at Taylor Kulik for similar content or visit my website at www.taylorkulik.com. I offer online courses where we really dive into infant and toddler sleep holistically. And we also offer one-to-one holistic sleep support services if you're looking to improve your child's sleep or shift patterns without sleep training. If you know a parent who would benefit from this podcast, please share. And if you'd like to financially support this podcast to allow me to create more episodes more often, you can visit anchor.fm/Taylor Kulik. I hope you'll join me next time.